We are broadcasting.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order, and we will start by calling the roll.
Senator Findley.
Senator Findley, present by video.
Senator Riley.
Present by video.
Senator Wagner.
Present by video.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Present by audio.
Madam Chair Burdick.
Present by video. Okay, committee, we have one item on our schedule today, and that is Senate Bill 806. So I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 806. Mazin, do you want to describe the bill?
Sure, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 806 comes to the committee via the OLCC, Oregon Liquor Control Commission. And the idea of the bill basically changes a couple of the definitions that we have in law or in statutes for beer. I included in your SMS the quick synopsis of what the changes in the bill are for the beer part. And of course, there is also a small change into the definition of wine. However, it's not the wine that has a definition change, but the dessert wine. The dessert wine currently is defined as the wine with a greater than 14% alcohol. The new proposed definition would be the 16% alcohol. It is noteworthy to note that wine and beer are taxed differently, and it's different rates of taxation. While beer is taxed at $2.6 per barrel or 31 gallon barrels, which translates to about 8 cents per gallon. Wine, on the other hand, is taxed at 67 cents per gallon. However, the dessert wine that has the definitional change from the 14 to the 16% adds 10 cents more per gallon for the tax rate. And that section or that class of wine is the one that is being changed. Has been engaged with the OLCC on these changes. The primary discussion for them would be to align the definitions in Oregon statutes with the federal code or federal regulations. And accordingly make both kind of harmonize. And I haven't determined exactly at this point, and we would hear from the OLCC on exactly what is the benefits versus drawbacks of how we align these definitions between our Oregon code and what we tax under which definition versus what is the federal. And we have here as the witnesses that would be addressing the committee is Steve Marks, the OLCC Executive Director, to walk you through these requests that they would like to see. I think you're on mute, Madam Chair.
I am indeed. Senator Findley, did you have a question?
I do, Madam Chair. Thank you so much. Luke, by changing the classification and the percentages, it increases the volume and the types of alcohol by tax rates. Is essentially, it appears, it's a tax increase and a revenue-generating measure, and I wonder if it requires a 3/5 vote to do so. if, you know, I heard the definition LC said yesterday on another issue that if it raises revenue, it does. But, you know, the measure we were talking about yesterday did not. This appears to raise revenue. So I'm curious of whether this require a 3/5 vote to do so.
Chris, do you want to take that one?
Sure, Madam Chair. Chris Allenike, Legislative Revenue Office. The direction that we've gotten from Legislative Council is that a direct increase of a tax rate is what drives a 3/5 vote. And they did not put a 3/5 on this. So changing definitions is, in a sense, I'm guessing, a broadening of the tax base, which can also result in revenue to the state, as opposed to just directly increasing the tax rate. But we can check with Ledge Council, and if you'd like, we can have them come talk to the committee.
I think that would be a good idea, because I had the same question when you see those rates increasing. So maybe if not today, we could have them come at a later time. But if it's possible to have them come in after we go through our witness list, that would be terrific.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, if I may, the changes in definition, actually, as we see it, might produce a revenue loss rather than a revenue change. There is no expansion here in that sense. It actually, realigns the types of things subject to which, and it might actually reduce, if it includes the way of looking at, let's say, hard seltzer, if that is the case, and make it a beer rate rather than a wine rate, that is actually a rate or revenue reduction in that sense, or a tax reduction. And the same thing with the wine, by going from 14% and having 10 cents in addition to it, going to 16%, meaning you have even less of an amount that is subject to the rate. In essence, you are actually might at any, if the amount of revenue will be impacted, this bill, as we analyze it, the most likely direction is a reduction in revenue rather than increase in revenue.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Okay, we will start with Steve Marks. Steve, I saw you in the lobby there.
I am here, Madam Chair. For the record, Steve Marks, Executive Director of OLCC. Senate Bill 806 and the dash ones and dash threes, I believe they are, really help us solve some overall problems. So the base bill really aligns us to the federal categories. Right now, Oregon has malt, wine, cider categories for taxation. The federal government uses beer and wine. And really what we're trying to do here is, for the purposes of tax identification for the Oregon system, use the federal definitions for what's beer and what's wine. Because we have a lot of, especially with these new products, these seltzers, how they're made, whether they're made with sugar, there's a lot of disputes on the line between whether it's a beer or a wine. So this would allow us to use the federal categorization for our purposes of determining what that is. So for instance, a popular brand, I'll mention White Claw. White Claw, we are under some look to try to figure out whether it's a beer or wine, and we've got to go back to the formulas and look. This bill would allow us to default to what the federal government says it does, says it is for our tax purposes. That'll save us a tremendous amount of indeterminate status within our system, where we look back, and because we're a paper system, thank you, you're helping to automate us. We're moving forward with that in the privileged tax system, but heretofore it's been a paper system. So we audit back on these collected taxes, and then we're trying to figure out what those new innovations are, whether it's really a beer or whether it's really a wine. And this will help with our efficiency. That's the primary reason that we move forward with it. And it does change the ABV values from 14 to 16 for malt under our system, and then does change the wine to 21%, I believe. So that's what's behind this bill, to ease the ability for both manufacturers and for us to understand what tax rate a product's going to come into Oregon system at. The other amendments, the Dash 2 really gets rid of a really truly technical anachronism in our statutes. If you have a wine self-distribution permit, they're technically required to have a CIRA. We haven't done that for ages. That's certificate of approval to ship into the state, because the privilege of wine distribution, self-distribution, is really shipping. So we want to eliminate that requirement. That's a technical requirement in Dash 2. And then in Dash 3, it was agreed through looking at the classifications that hard kombucha would be removed from the beer, wine, and cider definitions and statutes. So Dash 3, I believe, does that. So those are the rest of the amendments. I know Bill Schutte's on the line, I believe, and if Bill has anything to add on the tax status that would help the committee, Bill, please. If you're okay, Matt, Chair.
Yes, please, Bill, chip in here.
Yeah. For the record, Bill Schutte with the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Really, again, as Mr. Marks said, this just aligns our definition of malt beverage with the tax federal definition. So that's all I have to say on that.
Okay. And so what I'm hearing, Steve, is that you want the Dash 1, Dash 2, and Dash 3 amendments to this bill. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, I'm looking on my other screen over here to check the Dash 2, but yes.
Okay, because you did reference the Dash 2.
Yes.
Okay. Are there questions from the committee? I see no questions, so let's go to our next witness, Jonathan Manton.
Hello, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to see you all. My name is Jonathan Manton, and I represent the Oregon Brewers Guild. I wanted to just catch up to you a little bit more about that Dash 2 amendment and very quickly share a little bit of the story of the Oregon Brewers Guild from this past year, since this is the first time I've gotten to appear before you. OBG are brew pubs and tasting rooms and breweries located all across Oregon, lots of small local businesses that range in size from very, very small, as in a single owner that starts a brewery out of her own garage with a good recipe and starts a business. That's most of our members are in that very small category. The larger category would be an operation like Deschutes Brewery or Ninkasi in Eugene, or Rogue out on the coast. But we have brew pubs and breweries located all over Oregon. And the past year has been absolutely brutal. It's been some of the most difficult experiences that I've seen in many years of doing this, because when the pandemic hit, obviously our restaurants and brew pubs were just devastated, but also the collapse in the draft beer market resulted in just literally thousands of jobs. We surveyed jobs lost. We surveyed our members back in March when things first started to slow down, and without being able to sell the craft beer into restaurants or at events or at tasting rooms that were closed, the job loss was just really disheartening and brutal. We lost about 7,000 employees right from the start. Some of those have come back, but not much. We anticipate that it's going to take years to recover from what's been lost. And similar to the wine folks, a lot of the online sales or direct shipping has been a little bit of a Band-Aid. And so this Dash 2 amendment, what it would do is basically similar to what passed the Senate floor with Senate Bill 406 unanimously just a couple weeks ago. And it's pretty simple. All I would say is that because under current law, a holder of a direct shipper permit may send two cases of malt beverage per month to an Oregon resident. The bill that passed, Senate Bill 406, changed that for wine to 5 cases. So this amendment would just do the same. So this amendment would say that the holder of a direct shipper permit may send 5 cases of malt beverage per month to an Oregon resident and put us in line with what hopefully is going to pass with the wine folks. And sorry, I've got a helicopter going overhead now. But thank you for that, for your consideration of that amendment and for such a quick turnaround on it. This is a good idea. We're jumping late on the train, but it's a good idea. It would be a little bit of a Band-Aid for us. And I hope that you'll consider that dash two. Thank you much.
Okay, so your testimony is just on the dash two and you're not testifying one way or the other on the underlying bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. We have had great relationships with OLCC working on the definition of this malt beverage. And I believe it's the same that's in another House bill, which we do support. We don't think it would have a revenue, and our assessment is that it wouldn't impact revenue, but it is aligning with a federal statute and would be, it would help with the seltzer crowd because their tax, as I understand it now, as beer, and they understand they're usually taxed as beer, and this would stop them from being taxed as wine. That's the way I understand it. You might want to get some more clarity on that. But yes, we do support the underlying bill as well.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Okay. Mark Garst.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, Mark Garst with the League of Oregon Cities. LOC opposes the base bill, Senate Bill 806. We do not have any concerns about the two amendments that we've heard about today. The way that we read the bill is as described in the SMS, the staff measure summary, and that is that it would be a reduction of revenues to local governments. It would reduce the taxes on certain hard seltzers and dessert wines. And so, Mazin has some numbers in the SMS, but I would just kind of bring it down to the per glass level for you. On these hard seltzers, for example, and other high alcohol malt beverages, currently, if they're being taxed as wine, or as they should be, they'd be taxed at 6.2 cents per 12 ounce of beverage. If we were to adopt this change in definition, they would be taxed as beer, and that means that they would be at less than 1 cent per 12 ounce. And yes, you heard that correctly. Beer in Oregon is taxed at less than a penny per beer. It's about 4.7 cents on a six pack of 12 ounce beers. That is the lowest tax in the United States. And, you know, there'll be some, you'll hear from industry, oh, no, we're not the lowest, but they're not including general sales taxes in those states. If you look to the basic facts report that's put together by LRO, it's dead last. And then on wine, we're second to the last when you include the general sales taxes in other states. And this would also reduce the taxes on certain dessert wines where they might otherwise, dessert wines between 14 and 16% alcohol by volume, where they might otherwise have to pay a little 10 cent surcharge per gallon, they would no longer have to pay that. So. You know, we hear the OLCC that it would be administratively more simple, but I think you really have to look at the bottom line, you know, as far as how much does it cost to administer versus how much money are we talking about? And we don't have a revenue impact today. You know, our hope is that at some point, you know, and we hear the industry that this is a uniquely tough time, but our hope is that at some point we can have a serious conversation about beer taxes in Oregon and where they should be. Less than 6 cents a six pack is not cutting it. This is a huge revenue source for local governments. We really need this money. And, you know, and the industry needs to cover its costs. You know, people have a little bit too much fun, they drink a few too many beers, and the police end up having to come. We've done a study of this. There's a 2011 study that LOC put together. And at that time, we felt like our costs in terms of public health, maybe at the counties, in terms of, you know, law enforcement for the cities, were higher than the amount of money that we bring in. And our revenues have certainly increased since that time, but our costs have also increased. This is not one of those things where if you just get people to drink more, you're gonna be able to make up the difference on volume. So, you know, there are, just a slew of concepts this session that would take money away from liquor revenues. OLCC needs a warehouse. We hear them on that. We're going to send more money, apparently, to liquor store owners, despite the fact that sales are up tremendously and they get paid partially on commission. We're going to give more money to distillery tasting rooms. We're talking about canned cocktails down the hall in the virtual hall, I guess, down in general government, and, you know, and whether we shouldn't have those folks pay on these canned cocktails at a rate that's similar to wine, which is going to cannibalize our sales on liquor, where we get the full markup as basically the tax. So, you know, local governments are just very concerned right now about all these conversations, all this stuff that's under discussion, and we're feeling a little put upon, frankly. You know, we're preempted from levying local taxes on these beverages, and we get a share of the revenues that the state brings in. That is to reflect the fact that we have costs. And the legislature seems intent on taking away money in just a variety of different ways this session. And I just have to say, it's really concerning. Thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate your consideration.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee? I know we don't have a revenue impact statement on this, but is there any, Mazin, is there any kind of ballpark of what kind of impact it would have on overall revenue going to cities and counties? You're on mute, Mazin.
Yes, I'm back now, and I had a brilliant answer to your question while I was on mute, but I don't know if I can repeat it now. So the amounts that are associated, I mean, the revenue reductions that might result from this bill comes from two different sources. One of them would be by permanently reducing or defining those hard seltzers and so on as beer or malt beverage rather than wine, which means that they would be taxed at a lower rate rather than the higher rate. And that in itself is a thing that the OLCC is researching. One of the products, there are multiple products, of course, on the market. You have the White Claw, you have the Truly, and you have the other types. I have not yet tried them all, but they're pretty good. The amounts for one of these products, as I understand, would be something in the neighborhood of about ballpark to some million dollars a year. Now, that just one of the products, and not including all, not including these definitions, not finishing that research and study, if you will, into the different classifications. So at least I would say from that source, you're looking at about, you know, a couple million dollars reduction. The other source of reduction you might experience here is the universe in the wine industry or the wine products that moves from the 14 to the 16% alcohol. And that losing that 10 cents, that 10 cents usually goes to the Oregon Wine Institute. That's what it is primarily going to. That amount would be reduced, but however, I don't really have a good grasp on how much is that, how much in the market is 14% alcohol volume versus 16% alcohol by volume. And I think that would probably merit some more research and looking into if we are to further look into this bill, Madam Chair. Okay. I hope that answered your question.
And then there are some categories that are actually increasing, and that's where the question about three-fifths came from. What?
I don't think so, Madam Chair. I don't think there is any increase in this bill for any revenue. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to be the case.
I thought there was going to be some category that went up. Maybe I misunderstood.
Unless I'm reading this wrong, I don't think. See that where it comes, the seltzers of today could possibly be classified as wine. They are today taxed as beer, but not wine. But they probably, some of them should be taxed as wine. So the reduction, if you will, is hypothetical in sense, because in practice it is not being done. But if it is, then that permanently removes that discussion from whether we should include it because it's a wine volume type of thing, and how it is fermented and which part of the fruit comes the fermentation and so on. Once you remove that, you permanently make them as beer types. I don't believe any of that becomes part of a tax increase by any way of looking at it. So there is, I'm not sure there is any increases by definition by increasing base or anything.
Okay. All right. Other questions from the committee? Okay, we will take this under advisement. I think given the most recent testimony, Chris, I don't think we need to hear any more about the 3/5. I think we're good on that one. Well, that completes our business meeting. We'll close the public hearing on 8:06. And Chris, do we have anything else that we need to accomplish?
No, Madam Chair, that was the only item on your agenda today.
Okay, all right. Well, with that, we will adjourn. This committee's adjourned. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.